Welcome, everybody, to Inspiration in 10, where we share inspirational stories, articles, and Torah thoughts in memory of and le'ilui nishmat, my father, Rav Gershom ben Arav ben Zion. Tonight's class is also dedicated by Rita, Shoshana, and Carol in honor of our dear friend Esther Rabini for the occasion of her birthday, La'orech Yamim v'shanim Tavot. May this birthday usher in an abundance of brachot in every aspect of your life. Last week, my husband realized that the end of the year 2017 is fast approaching, which means that if we haven't used our garbage allotment of four pieces, large piece removal for the calendar year, we have squandered an opportunity as the allotment does not get carried over to the next year. Now, some of you might be chuckling, but it's no laughing matter. When you operate a center as we do and your garbage is limited, you have to be organized. You have to make sure to grab every opportunity to dispose of the dead freezer, the fridge, the broken table, etc. Imagine how I would feel on January 1st when I face all that extra garbage in my shed and realize that I hadn't taken advantage of the opportunity. Okay, well, this got me thinking. Garbage we can chuckle about, but do I think the same way each morning as I face the day? Okay, I've been given a gift of 86,400 seconds today. If I don't take advantage of them, I will not be able to carry them over to tomorrow. Do I hit the ground running on my birthday and say, wow, I've been given 31,536,000 seconds this year? That's the real present. And if I do not make the most of them, I can't put them on next year's tab. Steve Jobs of Apple, who died at the early age of 56, addressed the graduating class of Stanford in 2005 and told them that one of the secrets of his success was reminding himself every day that he was going to die, which caused him to make the most of each day. Now, we don't need to go to Steve Jobs for that. King Solomon advises us in that manner thousands of years prior. But this week, in the Torah portion of Chaye Sara, we're once again reminded that our first patriarch and matriarch, Abraham and Sarah, are the paradigm for making the most of our time. When the Torah tells us about Abraham in this portion, as well as in last week's portion in Parshat Vayera regarding Avram and Sarah together, it uses the expression Zikeinim ba'im bayamim, old and coming into their days. Not only does that expression sound redundant, obviously if they're old, they came into their days, but the expression is repeated a few times, 41 years apart. How many times can a person become old? Now, don't everybody chuckle with that. I know some of you say that every day. And in fact, there must be a deeper connotation, because we see that the Torah uses this expression of Baba Yamim, coming into their days, with King David at age 69, which for him in those years was relatively young. And so I found some beautiful words from Yossi Jacobson to explain this expression, and I'm going to quote for the next few paragraphs. Perhaps then we ought to interpret the words "they came into the days" as simply as possible, that Abraham and Sarah entered their days, allowing the days and its experiences to encompass them completely and touch the texture of their very being. Many of us are too frightened to enter into our lives and to live it fully with complete presence of mind, heart, and body, with unbridled passion and zest. We do not trust life enough to let it possess us. Life holds too much pain, too much disappointment, too much shame, anger, and guilt, and we'd rather let our days pass by as we mark time and retain a certain distance so that we remain safe. We observe our days moving along, but we're too timid to become one with them, to become completely encompassed by them. Yet Abraham and Sarah, the Bible says, personified a different model. They came into their days. They fully entered into their days. They allowed themselves to be wrapped by life. All their days were explored, utilized, and lived to the fullest. Avram and Sarah had been through quite a life together. They enjoyed tremendous blessings and victories, as well as profound pain and disappointment. In fact, that includes the fact that Sarah was at the time when this was said, childless. Yet throughout all of it, the positive as well as the challenging, the joyous as well as the painful, they allowed themselves to experience the pulse of life in its totality. They were present throughout and did not retreat into the cocoon of safe detachment. They entered inside each day and stared at its existence with an unwavering gaze. And that's the end of his quote. Imagine if we kept an actual journal of our hours, accounting for each one. What would that journal look like? Is time our enemy, a ticking clock, like the one that's sitting right in front of me now, working against us, aging us, and exposing our mortality? Does the clock beat us, or do we beat the clock? There's a very famous story where Rabbi Ber of Radishitz stayed the night at a wayside inn, and in the morning, he looked for the innkeeper. "Tell me," he says, "that clock that you have hanging in my room, where is it from?" "Why," said the innkeeper, "it's quite an ordinary clock. There are hundreds like it hanging in homes all around the country." No, said Reb Dov Ber. "This is not an ordinary clock. You must find for me, tell me where this clock came from." And if only to humor this guest, the innkeeper made some inquiries and he actually got the information of where this clock came from. It came from the famous Chozeh miLublin, the seer of Lublin. It seems that an heir of the Chozeh, of the seer, had been forced by poverty to sell all of his possessions. And so the clock passed from owner to owner until it came to hang in one of the guest rooms of the inn. "Ah, of course," exclaimed Reb Dov Ber, seeing and hearing the history of this clock. "Now it makes a lot of sense. This clock could only have belonged to the seer of Lublin. Only the seer of Lublin's clock could mark time in such a way. A standard clock," he explained to his bewildered host, "strikes such a mournful tone. Another hour of your life has passed. Another one has passed. You're getting closer to the grave. But this clock joyfully proclaims another hour of exile has gone by. You're now closer to the coming of Mashiach and to the redemption. All through the night," says Reb Dov Ber, "whenever the clock sounded the hour, I leaped from my bed and I danced with ecstasy." Avraham and Sarah, our patriarch and our matriarch, filled all of their days with value. As challenging a life as they had, they were able to use every day to the max, to the point that the Torah bears witness that they came with their days intact, because they let themselves embrace each day. There's a story I've told to some of you about a Jew who was imprisoned by the local squire in the Middle Ages. The squire made a magnanimous offer to the Jew to choose one day a year he's going to be a really nice guy, and on that day he'll let the prisoner be free for that one day. The Jew was really torn. Which day should he pick? Should he pick Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the high holidays where you really should be in shul? Should he pick joyous days like Purim, maybe Simchas Torah? Or maybe should he choose a family celebration like his wife's birthday? Which would you choose if it were you? The Jewish prisoner had a dilemma, and he wrote a letter to the great rabbi somewhere in Africa, I believe, for his advice. The answer came through clearly from the great rabbi who was world-renowned and he was of great halachic authority. And the answer stated clearly, choose today. Don't make so many calculations. If you have an opportunity to be free and to use the day to worship God properly, to connect with your family and community, to do good for another, grab it now. Let the day envelop you. If you think back in your own life, you can probably recall many times, or at least some time, when 1 minute or 5 minutes made a huge difference in your life or in the life of someone that is close to you. Sometimes it literally was a difference of life and death, as in missing an accident, missing a train or a plane that would have been involved in danger. Or on a positive note, when 1 or 2 or 3 minutes maybe gave you the opportunity to make a certain deal or to hear some very important information that affected your life, or even to say something meaningful to a loved one whom you may not have had an opportunity to speak to again. Picture a working matchbook where every match contains the potential to generate sparks and light flames. Although you don't see the flames, when you look at the matchbook, you appreciate the potential that it holds. You know that all it takes to ignite that flame is to strike the match on the right surface or to light it with another flame. Every day that we are blessed to live is like the matchbook. Every opportunity, even every challenge, every encounter contains within it enormous potential on many levels if we only dare to light the match. I can wax eloquent about the potential of time, and believe me, I'm talking to myself. I can say that an average lifetime, and of course nobody's average, certainly not on this phone call, contains 2,522,880,000 seconds, and the clock is ticking. But I think that for regular people like me, a practical idea to making each day count is keeping a journal and making sure that each night we can fill it with at least some very meaningful moments where we struck the match that day. You can make it a physical journal, you can write in your journal, or at least start with a mental journal. And that will compel us to keep increasing each day. Stephen Sotloff, the Jewish journalist, Hashem Yinakem Damo, who was captured and brutally murdered by ISIS, smuggled a letter out to the world before he was murdered. A few poignant lines that he expressed are, "Don't fight over nonsense. Live your life to the fullest and pray to be happy. Stay positive and patient. Everyone has two lives. The second one, or as I like to say, the real one, begins when you realize you have only one." From Avraham and Sarah, let's be inspired to live every moment of life and to bring every moment to life and to turn every second to eternity. Thank you, everybody, for joining me in elevating the airwaves. Le'iloi Nishmat, my father, Harav Gershon ben Harav ben Sion. And please remember that in South Surrey, Shabbos begins at 4:18.